Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today we have a very interesting guest, an interesting topic. It's Dr. Judy Dressner, who specializes in occupational therapy and gerontology, and we'll be talking about engaging older adults. This episode is brought to you by Podcast Motor, a podcast editing service for busy professionals. You just show up and record great content, and they handle the rest. Audio editing, show notes, publishing, promotion, and much more. Check them out at podcastmotor.com and mention UI Breakfast to get $50 off your first order. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Jane, and thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming here and sharing your wisdom. So before we get started, could you tell us about your life story and how you ended up being a specialist in occupational therapy?
Sure. I was on track to become a teacher. After a couple of years into that, I wasn't sure if that was going to be for me, because I was getting to the point of student teaching and I couldn't just see myself in the early grades that I had been preparing for. And so I took a job in an insurance company as a claims auditor. And what I realized about myself is that I was very curious about the claims that would come through. And enough so that I spent a considerable amount of time just reading up on various conditions. And one of the things I looked up when it came across my desk was a description of occupational therapy. And so I went and looked it up in the company library, because we didn't have the internet to do that on back then. And I learned all about it. And one of the things that I thought was interesting and I needed to know more about is what the idea of occupation meant in the name, which has to do with activities, not just occupations like as in career, but what engages people in their daily lives, and that those same activities are used as therapy to help people regain or acquire abilities to do what they need or want to do. So it's been a very interesting career. I jumped right into that and have been doing it ever since, and a lot of different settings, from clinical hospital settings to home health, and even a while in a locked psych unit to help people with mental health issues. And that was very rewarding, as all the jobs have been. But that's what led me eventually, after I got my doctorate, to begin considering teaching. And I've really enjoyed that, because in gerontology, which is the classes that I teach are in gerontology, it's a study of the process of aging, but from a very multidisciplinary point of view. So that's where I am now. I teach online graduate courses, and I can live anywhere. So I chose to live in what I think is the greatest place to age in place, and that would be Greenville, South Carolina.
Thank you for sharing your life story. So these days you find yourself as an educator, and your students are learning gerontology to apply that in their practice or in some other kinds of jobs.
Yes. In fact, we have a really nice mix of professionals from different industries and professions, some of them working on degree programs related to health and social services, such as OT, but also psychology, business, tech, design, architecture, engineering, just a lot of different fields coming together. It's a 7-week cohort. And so every 7 weeks of the class is a different mix of people. It makes a great springboard for conversation. And I think the students then can apply it, I hope, not only to their professional lives, but also get a lot of good information for themselves, their families, and everyone that they might have an influence with about aging, health, and healthy longevity.
Since our listeners are mostly from the field of creating software and designing software, let's start by giving some definitions, and then maybe we can discuss ways to actually improve our software to be accessible for older adults and engaging for them. So what do you think is the definition of an older adult? Is there a specific age frame or definition, or does it happen gradually and we cannot give it specific time or age when we can consider ourselves aging?
Well, gerontologists sometimes break it into three groups, which are the youngest old, the middle old, and the oldest old. And the oldest old would be like 85 and above. And then mid-range would be like what we think of as middle age mostly. But what we generally do is kind of just use the term older adult to mean pretty much anybody over 50. So here in the U.S., you get your AARP card in the mail, and it may not be welcome, but you get discounts at hotels. You're sort of beginning to accept the fact that, well, the world sees you as mature. And so we just use that because aging itself is starting biologically long before that, but that's kind of when the effects of aging and the visible signs become apparent and people start to maybe not identify with being old at all. And I wouldn't encourage them to think that way, but at least understanding that things are changing within themselves and that it does impact how they would want to be thinking about the future.
What do you think? Of course, it's a sensitive subject to discuss, but do people who are aging, would they prefer being labeled as such? Would they pick products as labeled for them? Or should we rather work on making all products accessible for them?
I think that especially the younger boomers, and that's a large population that is becoming more fluent in technology and thinking about using it, would prefer to not have the things that they would be using specifically with that label. I think if they're intuitive in their design, they will be good for everybody. And that's true if you think about with a lot of technologies, for instance, with cars and lane assist and backup cameras, things like that. They're actually upgrades. They're features that you pay extra for, and they are working so seamlessly in the design of the vehicle that it may not be apparent just how age-friendly those features are. But when people are aging, for instance, their peripheral vision narrows. So those cameras that help with keeping the lane also help, you know, the older adults see pedestrians at a street corner that they might not see, and that kind of a thing. And so, you know, it's just helpful to think of it in terms of making products that the design itself is helpful in considering the needs of older adults in their design, but not necessarily not broadcasting that's who it's for is the aging person.
So you've mentioned software inside cars and other industries and places where we find software, but not necessarily think about it as software that also needs to be adjusted.
Really, I think the main challenge right now for a lot of people is just being able to stay in their homes while they're aging for as long as possible. And that's what most people want to do. So anything that will make it easier in terms of mobility, all the smart home features that we have now to help with a lot of different things in the home. Those are a good place to begin in thinking about what technologies will really be helpful for people, because unfortunately, homes and communities, for the most part, weren't designed or built with an aging person in mind. And people are less and less inclined to want to live in seniors-only communities, and certainly not in assisted living that would be for people who are frail. They want to stay active and independent in their own home, in their own communities. So those are areas where the convergence of technology and the increase in the aging population are coming together at a great time when people really need it, because otherwise they might end up isolated in their homes and not able to be part of the community. So the technologies make it possible, even if people need assistance, to maintain their independence at home. And if you think about the ride-hailing services, there's so many different things that we have now in terms of having Amazon deliver our groceries or meals come from restaurants. Services can be arranged without even having to see a person. In fact, that reminds me, we have a property that we will be building on, and we have to keep it mowed, so we'll be in good standing with our neighbors before we actually get started on the construction. And in the meantime, I found on an app called Thumbtack, a nice person who comes every 2 weeks and takes care of that for me, and is paid through the app on the spot as soon as he's done. And I've never met him, but he's been doing this now for over a year. But it's those kinds of services that I think more and more people will be relying on to modify their homes or adjust their lifestyles as they get older, so that it's a seamless, we hope, transition into the longer lifespan that we're all anticipating we're likely to have.
There are people listening to us who have their own software products, and some of them are not specifically B2B, but also serving consumers. So from your professional standpoint, what can they do to make their existing software more accessible and engaging for older adults?
Well, thinking about some of the changes that happen with vision, hearing, and those sorts of things, it would just be to make sure that the options are in place to make sure that they have the ability to, say, for instance, have more contrast in their screen, adjust volumes, that kind of thing. And just keeping in mind, you know, font size, anything like that, that makes it easier and more intuitive. So, you know, my parents are 80 years old now. And, you know, some people in that age category are using technology and others aren't. But if they are, they're very likely to have some hearing and vision and other limitations. So even younger people can benefit again from things that will make it easier to use their products.
Are there any products out there that you think are doing a great job about that? Or are there any products out there? And I think we'll probably be talking particularly about mobile apps, I think. And are there any products that are particularly challenging for your patients or the patients of your students?
I would say that probably programming. So using the features that come on TVs and thermostats, some of those are not exactly intuitive. And I think that it will probably be helpful if there would be more all-in-one type settings, or they won't have to then have someone come in just to set up everything for them. So setup may be the place that I would look, because I believe that that may be the biggest challenge to people using technology who haven't been.
So you think the main pattern that we should be looking for is that there will be somebody more tech savvy who will set things up for them and then train the older person to use them on a daily basis?
Yes, I think that would be an opportunity for people to make sure that the older adults can actually use their products and that they are very age friendly. So age friendly is a loosely defined term, but it just means that you would be able to, kind of at a glance, be able to pick something up. And it's becoming more and more part of technology anyway. But someone, like I mentioned, my parents, who don't get online much, they still can enjoy an iPad, and it helps them to see and be in touch with their family. And so things like that, that are quality of life or health monitoring, entertainment, things that help them stay active and engaged, mentally challenging in spite of whatever limitations they might have.
Let's talk a bit about mobile phones and mobile applications. What do you find the common challenges are, and do you have any general recommendations of how we should be approaching that with our older relatives, for example? For example, should we try and give them the latest, you know, touchscreen model, or shall we sort of go back in time and find something with physical buttons, et cetera, et cetera?
I would think that simplicity would probably win out, and that would depend very much on the person. But yeah, I think the challenge is probably getting over any self-doubt that a person would be able to use the item. So I think probably testing it with people of various stages of the aging process to see what seems to work with this or that particular age group, or, you know, what the common things are that they want to be sure and allow for as far as what people would feel comfortable using. But yeah, I think just testing it out would be the best thing, because a lot of times it seems like it's assumed that you will know how to progress through using a piece of software, and that you just have to kind of make it so that if you're not familiar with it, you would have some kind of a very concrete step-by-step process to work through.
Throughout the years, your career has been out there longer than most of the recent technology. So I see you've been watching the rise of these complex cell phones and iPads, et cetera, et cetera. How do you would overall, like, what's your sentiment about these latest developments and the way that older adults engage with that?
Well, yes, I actually am basically self-taught in terms of technology, and I got into it really for the sake of my being able to teach my kids at home. So that is how they and I began to utilize technology, was for education. So I know what it feels like to figure things out and to have to take extra time to understand what others might feel comes natural. But I've enjoyed doing that. And I think that, I'm probably fairly average in terms of what a boomer age person maybe is interested in terms of technology. But yeah, that is one thing that I think is important, is just to make sure that people have the support that they need to take advantage of all that's out there, because there is so much now that we have to help us to lead healthy lives and to extend not just our health, not just our lifespan, but our health span as well, the years that we're able to remain healthy and active in our lives.
One of the challenges or the goals is to try and keep the mind of the person sort of sharp. I know, as an example, my grandma used to do a lot of crossword puzzles and things like that. Do you think that software can alleviate some of that?
Oh, yes. And I think games are an excellent way to do that. And also, the great thing about games is that you can involve multiple generations. So it's intergenerational activities that you can do in different kinds of games. And so, yeah, I think that's a great place to be working on things that would appeal to the different generations.
In your daily practice, do you mostly deal with theory, or are there any interesting practical applications and stories that you could share with our listeners that could illustrate how technology engages in that area? Not specifically games, but generally speaking, technology with older adults.
Well, it's really interesting, because each cohort that comes through the course offers what they're doing. So it may be something related, say, if they're a dietitian, to nutrition. And it may not always be software-based. It may be an in-person kind of activity that they're doing with people. But they all are given a project where we do some collaboration, but then they apply it specifically to where their practice is and where they currently are located. So there's just a lot of variety as to what people might think of, but it's really all about just making sure that people can be engaged in communities as they grow older in whatever way that it seems appropriate for, you know, for the student who is designing that kind of activity.
Is there any recommended reading that our listeners can enjoy, you know, not too scientific, but just to get themselves familiar with the industry and get inspiration for potential software products?
Yes. And actually, I enjoy listening to podcasts quite a lot. And I think Peter Diamandis and Peter Attia are both medical doctors, and they always are on the leading edge of technology, health, aging, and longevity. So I would look into what their podcasts are like, and they have books as well, and a lot of people will probably be familiar with them from any of those fields, because they definitely have a lot of good information.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today. Where can people find you online and get familiar with your teaching and with your writing?
I would say if you would just contact me through LinkedIn. I love to connect with people, and I would be happy to answer any questions or help in any way that I can. I'm always interested in hearing from people who share my interest in these topics.
Thank you so much once again. I hope this conversation brings some ideas to developers and designers who are listening to us. Thanks again, Judy, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks, Jane. It's been a pleasure.